ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
One of the problems today is because we want to be liked, the church wants to be accepted by the world, is we hide our light and we blend into the world. We become more like darkness. We're covering up that light that's in us. And people can't see Christ. Sometimes the light's kind of dim. What do we do? What if our light's not shining as brightly as we want it? Well, there's a story about a man that was returning from a journey. He brought his wife this little matchbox that would glow in the dark. And he gave it to her. He was kind of excited. And she turned out the light, you know, to see how it would glow. Nothing. Absolutely. Not even a little glow to it. It was dark. And they both thought they'd been cheated. And the wife noticed that there were some French words on the box and asked one of her friends to translate them. And this is what the inscription said. If you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light. We have to be in Christ, dwell in him, delight in his word, spend time with him. If you want to shine in the night, keep your eyes on the light. And I think that's our problem sometimes, is that we're not shining because we're not spending time with the Lord. Life and light go together. We come to saving faith, then we got that abundant life. And then the light of Christ enters us. That shining bright light shines not only in us, but through us as Jesus is living in us. Here's the thing that many don't understand, is that once we come to that saving faith, there is a war going on. There is a battle that is going on. And you may have heard people say, well, just accept Jesus and your life will be perfect. You won't have any problems at all. Again, what's the matter you, right? Are you kidding me? Where does it say that in the Bible? Look at the stories in the Bible. Look at just Paul's life and all that he went through. Everywhere he went, he was encountering trouble. You know, he'd first go to the synagogues and they would kick him out. Sometimes they would stone him. He was shipwrecked several times, beaten, thrown in jail. It wasn't an easy life, but he knew this body's temporary. These are just temporary sufferings, but what lies ahead is eternal, and man, it's glorious. And that's what kept him focused. But there is this battle to put out the light, to extinguish the light. Look at John 1, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, some of you are older like me, and you may remember Simon and Garfunkel. They were a music group. Back in 1975, they had a song called Slip Sliding Away. And it spoke of the fact that the nearer he got to his destination, the more he was slip-sliding away. I not only see this in America, I see this throughout the world. There is no direction, and the closer people think they are getting to where they want to go, they just can't reach it. And farther into darkness, they're slip-sliding away. And many aren't even aware of it. I mean, look at it. You know, with these elections, whether you think they were fixed or not, I'm not going to go into that because that's not my point. My point is the reason they want Biden as the president of the United States was because they thought he would solve all the problems. So they're trying to get closer and closer to their destination, and they're slip-sliding away. And look how far away we are. Look at the darkness that has come in. When John says the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, there's a couple meanings that can be related to that word, and I think they both apply. As the light of God was shining, many didn't understand it. Their eyes were blind to the truth. And God will give light to those who seek the light, and for those that don't, they remain in darkness. But the word also, comprehend, can mean to extinguish. In other words, the light has come into the world, Jesus Christ, and the darkness will try and put it out. And it's not going to succeed because the word's going to be victorious despite the opposition. But believe me, the battle continues on, and I think the battle is getting more intense in the days that we're living in, more intense than we've ever seen before. I mean, we look at immorality and how it's grown in this country and just go, I'm just dumbfounded by it, and I shouldn't be. Because when you turn from God, these are the results. Why is it growing so much? I think the devil knows his time is short, and he wants to destroy as many lives as he can. he's done a really good job in the church thinking the church has to protect itself and save itself, and it's all about what they are going to attain. And our mission is not by making life easier for us. You know what the mission is? To bring the gospel to the lost. Because I know where I'm going. No matter what the world throws at me, I'm with Jesus. But all those people that don't know Jesus, what's going to happen to them? Outer darkness. And we need to change our focus and have the focus on the lost. That's why, to me, one of the greatest things we do with Vacation Bible School is to instill in these kids the love of Jesus Christ. To tell them that they are important and that God loves them so much that he died for them. You give them that message, the gospel? Of course we do. We don't go tiptoeing through the tulips. We give them the truth. And every year, we give them the gospel message because it's that important. And they take it home to their families who may not be saved, their grandparents, their friends, because it's that important. Does it make sense that darkness is expelling the light? No. How does darkness expel light? That makes absolutely no sense to me because it has no power to do that. And yet, for many, the light of Christ has gone out and the darkness is growing stronger and stronger. Look at the church today, and not every church, but many have embraced the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda, the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa agenda. They're allowing sin into the church, and they are allowing the darkness to come in because they refuse to shine the light of Christ. We are to be a light in a world that's in darkness, just as Jesus was, right? Don't let the darkness put out your light or dim it. Let it shine. Think about what happens with darkness when you turn on the light. It's extinguished by the light, isn't it? I mean, go check out bars. Why are they so dark? Do you ever think about that? Because you can do your sin in the dark bars, and no one could see it. If you had a bar that had bright lights, no one would be in it, because you'd see them. You keep it dark, dim, so the sin can be done. When I look at what's happened again in this country, wow, how far. I mean, we are going into a socialist, immoral society, and we're excited about it. We're promoting it. I mean, read some of the things that our governor has done, Governor Evers, to promote the gay agenda. Look at some of the things he's passed and what he wants to do. He's promoting sin. And have you ever seen so much gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever, on the television as you do today? I was watching some science fiction. It was crazy sharks. It wasn't Sharknado, even though I do love Sharknado, I have to admit. But it was some crazy shark show that it grew big and was destroying this place and stuff. But in one of the commercials, and it was on Sci-Fi Channel, was I think about, I don't even remember the little creature's name, but he was a little like a puppet type thing. And it was a horror thing. But the guy who wrote it said, you know, I've been writing into the script the LGBTQ agenda. I've been putting this into the script. Like, really, that's what you're promoting? I kind of forgot that it was, I guess, the month or week for LGBTQ. But I thought, wow, this is what's going on. Our society is falling apart. But what holds us together? Jesus. You see, we're missing the point of what we need to do. We need to bring people to Jesus. Could you imagine? Okay, say we get our government going and everything is great and we're flourishing and we're making lots of money and everything is going great, but people are dying and going to hell. Did we succeed? We didn't. We didn't. That's not our mission. Our mission is never to save a country. Our mission is to save people. And as we save people, guess what? The country gets saved. The country prospers. Look in the Bible. When revival broke out, what was the thing that brought revival to the southern kingdom of Judah? They found the Word of God. It was hidden back in the temple somewhere. It was dusty. They had to clean it up. bring it out. And they read it, and the king's convicted, and he's weeping, tearing his clothes. He reads it before the people. They're weeping, tearing their clothes, repenting before God. The word of God cuts through the hardness of the heart, and it brings revival. We are seeing a push for socialism in our country, a move away from the Judeo-Christian beliefs of this country. And people say, "Oh, we were never a Christian nation." Well, granted, the nation was never all Christian, but you go down to Washington and see all the Bible verses that are there. What do you mean we weren't a Christian country? In some states, you couldn't even run for a government office unless you were a practicing, born-again Christian. Not just religious, not just a good person, but a born-again Christian. So please don't tell me that we weren't a Christian nation. Yeah, we weren't perfect. There was a lot of bad things going on. But there always is, because man is evil. And you look at our nation, you go, wow, I'm seeing Sodom and Gomorrah again. And look at the judgment that God brought upon this nation. George Washington said this in his famous farewell address: "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect the national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." Absolutely. They go hand in hand. You need the truths of God found in the Word of God to live out a moral life, because you need to know what's right and what's wrong. Because if you notice what's happened over the last 30, 40 years, what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. Our morality has changed. Ronald Reagan said this: "Without God, there is no virtue, because there's no prompting of the conscience. And without God, democracy will not and cannot endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." You know, you think he just wrote those words, right? That was a long time ago. Without God, without the Word of God to guide us, what happens? We are walking in darkness. We don't know where we're going. And the darkness of the imagination of our own hearts, wow, it leads to death and destruction. Remember when AIDS first came out? I took care of AIDS patients before there was even a name for AIDS. They didn't know what it was. Some immunodeficiency thing. They weren't sure what was going on. They didn't have a name for it. And it spread quickly. Why? Send me the email. Send me the letters. It was because of the homosexual community. The number of partners they had, hundreds and hundreds of partners. And so this disease spread very quickly throughout that community. Also, married couples, or couples that are engaged in sex outside of marriage with multiple partners, we see that. What is God's standard? One man and one woman in a monogamous relationship in marriage. And God said it's good. But here comes Satan knocking on your door, right? And tells people, hey, you can have sex with whoever and whenever you want, whatever you want. You can have it anytime, and you can enjoy it. And what are the consequences? Death and destruction when you don't obey God's standard. Does this affect heterosexuals too? Yeah, people who have gotten blood transfusions that are in heterosexual relationships, are married, yes. It has affected them. But it also has affected couples that are having sex outside of marriage. God came to give life, right? Life and light. Satan's come to destroy life. So tell me, who loves you? Who has what's best for you? I've used this illustration before, but it's like a parent protecting their children. Son, don't put your hand on the stove. You're going to burn yourself, right? You're watching them. You're trying to protect them. I'm fine. I could do whatever I want. They don't say it that way, but in their minds, that's what's coming out. And they do it, and they get burned. There's consequences to their actions. But we love them so much, we're warning them. And that's exactly what God's doing. He loves us so much. He says, I have something that is great for you. This is the best. A marriage relationship, sex between a husband and a wife. Outside of that is death and destruction. Within, I've given that to you, for you to enjoy. The devil just twists everything that God does. Everything that is good, he twists it to destroy your life. And we see that. Good is evil, evil is good. That's what Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There it is. There's the battle, guys. What we're doing, what we're standing up for. The world says, oh, that is so unloving and hateful. We've got the answer for you. The world never has the answer for us. God always does. And you have to listen to him. But I don't like always what he says. Oh, I'm sorry, but it's what's best for your life. You know, as a kid growing up, I didn't always like what my parents told me. But I found out they were pretty smart when I got older. I realized that as a parent, I was teaching my kids like they taught me, because I love my kids. One writer said this. He said, however, contrary to reason and experience, we find ways to rationalize sin. We redefine it. We change the labels. It is possible to lose one's sense of taste, the taste of the heart, not by age or injury, but by choice. By rejecting the law of the Lord and despising the word of the Holy One, if we do not discover sweet to be sweet, but insist that reality be redesigned so that our taste for bitter can only be satisfied but called sweet, how can the grace of God thrive under those conditions? Do we enjoy the right things? Do we call good and evil by their true names? Or is it that passé? We have seen in our society this kind of thinking flourish, where good is evil and evil is good. And it's leading us farther and farther away from God. Everything gets turned around. And Paul tells us, warns us, that the world isn't going to like us. Jesus even did that. And he says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and communion has light with darkness? Yeah, light and darkness don't mix. Righteousness and lawlessness can't mix. And so to get the world to accept us, they're not going to change their ways. To like us, they're not going to change. We have to become darkness and lawlessness. And we see that going on. You just scratch your head. You go, come on. How are we moving that far away from God? And then I go, oh, I remember. Back in the Old Testament. In the southern kingdom of Israel. Or southern kingdom of Judah. How they departed from God. And the consequences of that. And we see that happening today. What are we to do? First or 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Is it dark outside? It absolutely is, spiritually speaking. But we have the light of God. We have the word of God to encourage us, guide us, and light our path. And we need to shine until Jesus comes. That means to the end. But it's getting so bad out there. I don't care. You know why? My God's in control. And I keep losing sight of that because of what CNN is telling me. Get out of my head. What message are we to give? It's what Jesus said in Luke 1:78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There it is. God has come. He has visited us as God became flesh and dwelt among us, the incarnation. And he brought light into this world, a world that was in darkness and doomed for death, eternal separation from God. And now he's saying, look, I want you to go out there. And I want you to give light to those who are sitting in darkness. But they're so evil. They're so wicked. They're so nasty. They just need to be destroyed. And maybe God is telling you, hey, you need to look in the mirror and see what you were like before you were saved and how you rebelled against me. You see, they need Jesus just like we needed Jesus. Let's not be cold and hard-hearted to the lost. Let's love them into the kingdom of God. Let that light that's shining in us be so bright that it dispels that darkness. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What are you shining forth? In that first creation, God said, let there be light. That was physical light, right? But in the new creation, God shines his light into our hearts. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's spiritual light, guys. And here's the battle. The God of this age has blinded the eyes of those who are perishing. But the light of God has come and has shined into the darkness of those hearts and expelled those darknesses as they came to saving faith. And thus we're to shine for him. You know, Warren Wiersbe said, light and darkness are recurring themes in John's gospel. God is light, while Satan is the power of darkness. People love either the light or the darkness, and this love controls their actions. Those who believe on Christ are the sons of light. Just as the first creation began with, let there be light, so the new creation begins with the entrance of light into the heart of the believer. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world was the dawning of a new day for sinful man. You would think that blind sinners would welcome the light, but such is not always the case. The coming of the true light brought conflict as the powers of darkness opposed it. A literal translation of John 1:5 reads, and the light keeps on shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or understood it. The Greek verb can mean to overcome or to grasp, to understand. Throughout the Gospel of John, you will see both attitudes revealed. People will not understand what the Lord is saying and doing, and as a result, they'll oppose him. John 7 through 12 records the growth of that opposition, which ultimately led to the crucifixion of Christ. There is a battle of light and darkness going on, and we are in the midst of that battle. But understand, the darkness can't extinguish the light, but we can extinguish the darkness as Jesus shines not only in us, but through us. Think about the millions who have tried to extinguish the light. Who are they? We don't remember many of them. We remember Voltaire. He said within 100 years of his death, you know, Christianity will be gone, the Bible will be done away with. And the Geneva Bible Society bought his house after he died and printed Bibles from his house. God has a good sense of humor. He's gone, the Bible still stands. What are we to do? We're to shine. And they cannot put out the light, guys. They can try. Years ago, in fact, back in 1971, there was a song by Children of the Day, and the song was Children of the Day, that goes like this, and it kind of sums up what we've been talking about. When the room is dark and empty, and night shadows start to fall, and when the leaves of evening make the writing on your wall, when it gets to be too frightening, shadows lurking left and right, don't try to drive the darkness out, you just turn on the light. We are the children of the light, and we're children of the day. We need not always stumble in an ever darker way. Though the darkness may close in around us, are around with shadows everywhere. Still, Jesus Christ is in our hearts. The light of the world is there. Amen to that. We need to turn the light of Jesus on in us, drawing closer to him and dispel the darkness as we shine for him. You just got to turn on the light, guys, and the darkness is dispelled. May we do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you Because many times I think we miss this fact that we're in a battle. And you keep reminding us, especially in these days we're living in, that there is a battle for light and darkness, for truth and error, for morality and immorality. And we need to stand strong in you. Not hide our light, not cover it up, but let it shine, the light of Jesus, to touch those that don't know you, to encourage those that do know you, Lord, but always shining the light of Christ. Thank you for being our God. And as we start this new week, Lord, help us to shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us? On God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.